empty. Well, we made a camp, and we was a-wondering whether we'd have to make a cache and leave it till snow come and go on. But, so we decided we'd go up and look-see. Well, just above camp, the river turned way over to the bank and was probably 3 miles around that bend, and right straight across was just about a mile. Well, my partner was a good woodsman. He was fine in every way, but he lacked his eyes somehow. I don't know what it was. He see well, but if anything was standing, he was kind of like a animal that way. If anything was standing still, he didn't seem to notice it. If it was moving, he'd see it fine. But he wasn't much of a track man either. He didn't understand tracks very well. So when we come to this bend, he said, I'll go around the river and see how it looks. And he said, you go across and see how the track looks. Well, that was fine. I knew I had to go about 1 mile of his three. So I just didn't hurry. I was fooling along, looking at tracks and everything on the river. And the bar between all where that big circle was pretty much flat. It had a little ravine through it. Willows growing quite a few. So some places you could only see 50 feet, and some ways you could see 200 or 300 yards. Well, I was going along, not thinking much of anything, and something warned me. I don't know what it was. But I looked around, and here come a bear. He weighed about 1,000 pounds, and he was just coming like a freight train right square at me. Well, I'd used a 30-30 carbine up till that time, and my partner was using an .06, and kidding me quite a bit about it. He said, someday a bear will eat you up. But I said, no, if you put your lid in the right place, any gun's big enough. And we used a kid and a quarrel in a jolly way over our guns, as everybody does. And when that bear started at me, now I was just as calm as I could be. I never get scared till something happens and it's all over with anyhow. But I shot well. Not a lot of men that done any better. And I just throwed my rifle up and pulled the trigger, and nothing happened. Again and again and again, I shot 4 times, just as fast as I could, and that bear coming square at me. Well, by that time, that bear had his mouth open, and he was awfully closed. And I said to myself, boy, them something must have happened. So I just dropped to one knee right quick and pulled a dead beat on his chest and pulled the trigger, and I see the hair bulge at his shoulders. I knew I'd been at putting my lead in the right place, but still that bear was coming. Well, I just jumped kind of to one side, and the bear passed me and slid to a stop about 60 feet from me, dead earn a mackerel, you know. Well, boy, I went over and sit down on him, and my legs were shaking. He just wouldn't hold me up. I figured out, boy, you just better get you a better rifle. That's all there is to it. This isn't big enough. And sitting there smoking my cigarette, my partner coming up. Well, he says, you just had a clothesline of lead going out of that pea shooter, didn't you? But he says, I see you got him. Well, he says, I'm glad you did. Says, you know, I was walking along over there, and he said, that bear was laying asleep. He says, I walked right up with him 2 feet of him, and he jumped up. She scared me so bad I couldn't even shoot. And he says, he turned coming straight towards you. I figured he'd get you. You'd get him. Well, the bear was running from him, mind you, and not to me at all. But I got him. And well, we had to pack some stuff. Well, you know the funny thing? They say a pup is don't know what he's doing. Well, we cooked some of that bear meat and fed some to the pup. He's just a little fella, about 4 months old. Made a good leader afterwards. But we kept feeding him this meat and feeding him the meat and eat too much. And finally, he took some over and cached it, dug a hole and buried it. And no party, I wonder if that pup ever knows where he cached the thing. Oh, I don't think so, I said. We went on and got up and built a cabin, and we had about 3 weeks, and we had to come back and get some more provisions. It hadn't snowed yet, but on the river. Froze up quite a bit. The pup come along with us. Well, sir, we got about 100 yards of that cache, and that pup just streaked out and went straight to where that meat was and dug it up. My partner says, hey, you know, he said, that little devil's been thinking that ever since we started. Well, maybe he was, I don't know. But we got a pretty good cabin started and made and fixed up. Don't take long. You know what you do? You just get where trees are close and cut them down, pile them up, use dirt floor, dirt roof, split the boards to put on your roof and throw some moss on it and throw some dirt on it. You got a pretty good cabin in about a week. But we got our cabin fixed up, and somebody had told us about a hot spring up in them Wrangell Mountains. We didn't know anything about the Wrangell volcano, and alive at that. So we started out one day to find that hot spring. And boy, we was gone about a week. It was cold. We'd go up the mountain and kill a sheep and drag it down to the brush and cook it. Wanungati and I was just about dead. But you know that partner of mine didn't seem to be wore out totally. He'd just get along fine. Well, early that winter, we was up the mountains trapping, and I was on a glacier, and I slipped and fell and lost my gun in the crevice. Well, I had to go back and get a gun. So I went down to the trading post. They're full of their honest men as ever you've seen in your life. He had a Mauser. And he said, Slim, he said, I've got this Mauser. And he said, it's a swell shooting gun. He says, I got a half a dozen boxes of cartridges, which don't sell too cheap. Well, he was so truthful, he told me about trying it out before he bought it. And he bought it because a man was broken. I said, well, I guess that's all right. So I took the rifle. Went back up in the mountains, and Moose jumped up. Well, he was feeding on a snowbank, a couple of 100 yards below me, and I pulled a bead on him, and I hit him. And I shot again, and I missed him. And from that on, those shells just bounced all over. It didn't hit any place. Well, I knew the gun was just wore out, but finally the Moose did drop dead. And so I cleaned him up, and started back to camp, and I run into a silver fox. Boy, he was a beauty, and a silver fox was worth money them days. Anyways, from $100 to $600-$700. Pulled a bead on that fox, and he wasn't over 60 feet from me, and I didn't shoot within 5 feet of him. Well, I was pretty sure. So I went back. I couldn't imagine the old fella cheating me on the gun. Had to go back and get another gun, of course. So I went 25 miles below there to Copper Center. Old friend by the name of McCrary run the place. Yes, he had a gun. And so he says, you know, I had more fun this summer with Jim. He said, we was up in the mountains, and he said, a fella come along over the trail, and he said he had a Mauser. He said he wanted to sell it. And Jim, of course, he wanted to try it out first. And he says he shot at a mark on a rock. He says, a piece of moss. About 100 yards up, and he says, I run up to look at the moss, and he said, I couldn't see where he hit, but he said, I pointed right the center of the moss, and he says, I got back behind the rock, and he shot again. He says, don't believe he even hit the rock, but he says, I come out again, and I pointed right at the center of the moss, and went behind the rock, another shot, I come out and shot right, pointed right square at the moss. Well, he said, Jim throwed back his shoulder just prouder than a peacock. He says, I'll take the gun. Well, come to find out, that's the gun that Jim had sold me. So I got the dirty end of it. We went on with our trapping and had a pretty good catch. He didn't know it was doing bad at all. And I come in one night, and there was my partner sitting out in front of the cabin, and the cabin had burnt down. Just a mess of coals, that's all there was to it. Everything had burned. Our fur, we had 2 sheep hanging up in out on a limb, and that's all the grub we had, everything we had. And, well, we had to go get our traps sprung, so we did, and started back to Valdez. We left our dogs to be boarded and started back to Valdez. Well, we got to what they call Ptarmigan Drop, and there was a gal there that was a prospector, and she had 2 prospective buyers with her. Somebody's going to buy her mine. And it was 13 miles over the summit. Well, the summit didn't look too good to me. There hadn't been anybody over for quite a while, and it was a tough one. You know, when it was tough, it was just plenty tough. And she had a horse, and these two men. The men was middle-aged men, I imagine. She wasn't too young. So we come through, I and my partner, swinging along on her snowshoes, you know, and stopped to get something to eat. She said, I want to go with you. Why? I said, Mrs. Johnson, you can't go. I said, not for that horse. I said, it won't do well. She was going to go anyhow. She got out and started to hook up that horse. Well, you couldn't do anything with her at all. And she's kind of an odd sort anyhow. And of course, these fellas, they didn't know what she's up against. Well, anyhow, she just started out behind her with this horse. Well, all we could do, we just kind of take care of her the best we could. Well, we got to Dutch Flats. That is, oh, 6-7 miles. And it was just nothing to it. The horse couldn't go any farther, and she was wiggled out, and so was the two men, and we were just stuck. That's all there was to it. Couldn't go back. The horse too tired, and they wouldn't do it. So we just dug a hole in the snow and put them in it, and put their blankets in there and wrapped them up and stuffed the hole up behind them. We unhooked the horse and tied him to the double-ender and put the shafts up so we could find him when we come back. And we lit out across the mountain. Well, we made it. It was storming pretty hard. And so we would get as far apart as we could, and one would watch the other. While my partner was ahead, well, I'd watch him to keep them turning, you know. A person will go in a circle if they ain't careful. Well, if we would get out of line where we thought, why, we'd holler. Yeah, we'd turn back, and that way we kept a straight line, and, or as near as we knew about the trail, and as near as we could keep on it, and we made it over all right, and of course told the folks on the other side what we'd done. Well, they was in there all that night and until late the next evening before a rescue party got over and got them out. But they was all right. Nothing ever happened to them. People can stay in a snowdrift like that, or they've got a little bedding. They can do a pretty nice job of it. By this time, mail was coming through with what they called a double-ender. It is just a two-ended sled about 3 feet wide and about 7 feet long, and it had shafts. And you could hook those shafts onto either end and go in right away. Well, mail was coming through on them days. And the mail come through with something like $75,000, if I remember right, in gold. And got to up on that summit and got stuck. Well, they just unhooked from their sleds and brought their horses on and left that gold up there. And it is up there for 3 or 4 days. It is plumb safe. Nobody's going to get it. You can depend on that. But that mail is quite a thing, you know. When we first started taking it in from Valdez to Fairbanks, we took it with dogs. Then in the fall of the year, that is between the snow and the thaw, and they took it on men. Yeah, the man would have a contract to take.